And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to the habit that is Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Natalie. And today there will be lots of nonsense.
And poetry. Sorry, I've got nothing for that one. I'm rubbish at that.
Luckily our guest isn't.
All in the next hour right here on Shout Out. Ba-dum-bum. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Ella. Hello, Lara. So, hello, Natalie.
Hello, Sunny.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, anyone would think it's coming up for like a holiday or something. Don't the kids break up soon?
Yeah.
Sure, it's soon. Week.
Is it this week, is it?
Yeah, this week, this Friday.
Oh, well, at least it means the roads are quiet for the next few weeks, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
So you kind of get so used to it the summer holiday, driving to work, and it's like, oh, there's no one on the roads, I can stay in bed an extra half hour in the morning.
Wow. Well,
and then you get to the end and you're like, oh.
Well, you could always move somewhere quiet like Glastonbury or Stroud.
Well, I could, yeah, but I like Bristol too much.
So
it's nice. I really like Bristol, but it is a classic city that it only needs like one accident and the whole place grinds to a halt, really, isn't it?
So, oh, yeah.
Or someone decided they want to put a metro bus everywhere.
Oh my god, the roadwork's terrible.
So have you been in the centre?
They're by my house. Yeah, like, that's where I near.
But they've opened up that new bit in the centre. Yeah. Sorry, those of you in Glastonbury and Froome. If you're up here, you'll notice it's causing total chaos. They've opened up the bit in the middle where the fountains are, if you know Bristol well. And you can now drive from one side to the other, but you can no longer come down Baldwin Street and turn right, for example.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you see all these people like kind of come charging down in their car. They're like, I want to go that way and I can't. And then they end up having to go all the way out miles. And it's a bit of a, there's a rhyme or reason to it. But.
No, yeah, the cars are turning the wrong way and like not when their red light's on. So it's just a nightmare trying to cross as well.
Yeah, it's something to do with the metro bus, I'm sure. There's supposed to be park bit in the middle, isn't there?
It feels like, you know, one step forward, two steps back, with all due respect to Bristol City Council. Like.
All I'm going to say is I refuse to talk any more about metro bus.
Well, that's all right. There you go. Done. How's that?
Apparently, like, it's meant to be like a tram system, but bus-wise.
Well, they've been on about putting trams in Bristol.
Yeah.
I mean, bearing in mind, we had trams in Bristol if you go back long enough.
Oh, right.
Bristol had a massive, great tram network at the turn of the century. You're our history buff. You probably know more about this than me.
Oh, no, don't look at me like that.
I don't know.
You know what, Andy? I'm going to be honest with you here. I am really, really great at the history of medieval Welsh border communities in the 12th century. Okay. We're solely in the history in the 20th century, not so much.
Okay.
Well, I'll just make it easy for you. Bristol had a good tram system until the war when the Paris lines all got blown up, so it couldn't be used anymore.
Yeah, well, it was becoming out of fashion anyway, so...
Yeah.
But there were all kinds of weird things with it, because some of them had bits in the street that would pop up and join the bottom of the carriage to pass the electricity, and if they didn't go down correctly, you'd step on it and electrocute you. And also, yeah, there was all kinds of funny things. But Bristol had one of the best tram networks, and you can still see lots of parts of it around, or at least where it used to go. They even went through Old Market, believe it or not.
Wow.
Since about the end of the 60s, early 70s, I think they've been on about putting a tram system in Bristol. And when I moved here in the towards the end of the 90s, it was kind of like, yeah, right, let's all get together and all the councils agree on it, and they couldn't agree where to put it, from what I understand.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong, but this is also what I remember happening anyway. And in the end they just said, no, let's scrap it, and we'll give everyone a break on council tax for a year.
Oh, wow.
And all the money that had been saved just went for 1 year's like no raise in council tax. And so now we have Metro Bus, which, let's face it, is a bus.
So it's going to be late as always.
Nothing to do with the metro.
Running late.
Yes. fantastic.
Can I have, like, which, let's face it, is a bus on a t-shirt or something? I just want that to be your catchphrase.
Well, the last I heard, they haven't actually got someone successfully to run it yet, so we
no
don't actually
one
know
wants
who's
to run
no.
it.
No, it was going to supposed to be first, wasn't it? And
will yep. that change on the 4th of May? We don't know, but you got to vote.
Yes.
No, it won't, because there's a parallel bus route which actually goes through areas where there are bus stops. So why run a bus on a route with no bus stops when you can run one with bus stops?
Well, I think a lot of the work they're putting in is to bypass the traffic, isn't it? It's supposed to be quicker.
So oh. it's of really course bad. It's quicker. It's not stopping to pick up passengers.
This is an LGBT plus show. We're talking about the metro buses.
I know, but, you know, the metro bus is for everyone if it ever happens.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So anyway, we shouldn't poo-poo it. I'm sure it's going to be a good idea. I'm sure it'll be fine when it all opens. So I'm just getting a bit sick and tired of queuing behind the traffic lights for all the blooming works that are going on at the moment. So, but that's just me personally. So.
Yeah.
So. Well, at least Bristol, you can say with Bristol, it's got a rainbow of traffic lights everywhere.
It has. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and of course, next week, we got Big Bank Holiday as well, haven't we? So we all get 4 days off next weekend. Not this weekend. Go to work tomorrow, please. So, anyway, should we get some events, people?
Yeah.
So, right, here we go. So this week we've got Ella and Lara. It's not quite like Tara and Lara, is it?
No, it's
also
not quite
rhyme,
got the same ring.
It's fine. I mean, if you want to replace me, go out there. We can swap out.
Ella, you are most definitely unreplaceable.
Oh, apparently.
So, right, what events are we doing this week then?
Well, I'm quite excited about a brand new LGBT plus community night at the Winchester Arms in Taunton. It's called Out, very aptly, and it kicks off tomorrow at 8 p.m. The Winchester Arms will be open till late. They're advertising themselves as Taunton's premier LGBT plus night. When you get there, you need to go upstairs and entry is £2.
Oh, cool.
And gosh, hopefully no zombies there.
No, that is the Winchester, not the Winchester okay. Arms. Yeah. Reference to Shaun of the Dead, that one, isn't it?
And we've also got The Handmaiden at Watershed. It's a Park Chan-wook's adaptation of Sarah Waters' lesbian thriller, Fingersmith. It's set in Korea in the 1930s and it's open on Friday the 14th. Tickets are £6.50 and concessions are £4.50.
Oh, cool.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah. I can't wait to go and see it.
Based in Korea.
Yeah, I know. But cultural there.
Very cultural.
It looks so pretty. Seriously, I have seen the stills for this film, and a couple of members of the Shoutout team saw the preview for it and raved about it to me.
Ooh, did
so
they?
I'm so excited. You really have no idea. Like, it's a period lesbian Korean drama at the Watershed that people can go see. Anyone under 24, you get a £4.50 ticket. Doesn't matter if you're a student. That's one of the cool things the Watershed does. And I mean, it just looks like the most gorgeous film. Like, honestly, it just looks so pretty.
Advocate anything that's got BME members in it as well, who are also LGBT plus. So yeah.
So do we know much about the storyline behind it?
Yes, I have read the novel. So
of course, Ella's read the novel.
So basically, there's this bloke who's a bit of a Mr. Wickham, and he decides to hire a pickpocket to help him swindle this young, lonely heiress out of her fortune. And so the pickpocket is this woman, and she's hired as the heiress's maid. But then, you know, sparks fly because they're in all these intimate positions, and then maybe there's more to it. Maybe there's a twist. Maybe the heiress knows more than she's letting on. We just don't know, but it's all very spooky. Set out in a house in the middle of nowhere where this, like, Mr. Wickham kind of dashing character is trying to, like, force both of these women into this position they don't really want to be in. The pickpocket has all of these moral, like, fights because she doesn't know. Does she want the money? Does she feel bad for this woman? It's so great.
Sounds great. Yeah. Can't wait to go and see it.
Yeah.
Maybe go see it with you, Ella.
Yeah.
So you said it's got BME people in it as well, has it? Is that just because they're Korean, or is
it must be. Like, it's set in Korea, so BME members are going to be part of it, I'm guessing.
Yeah. All Korean actors, yeah. Korean director. Yes, very, very, very pretty. And also like traditional Korean dress and stuff. So there's some really beautiful kind of like robes and stuff and like traditional Korean architecture. It looks so pretty.
Yeah. I know very little about Korea, apart from the fact that you see North Korea wants yeah. to kind of like blow up half the world at the moment.
And it's honestly a shame because both South and North Korea have some really exceptional artistic history, let alone
South Korea is supposed to be amazing to go visit.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I've seen like loads of pictures on it. I really want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know someone who...
I wouldn't recommend going to North Korea.
No, neither. No. I don't think I'd get it. I wouldn't get out either.
So when's that film? What did you say? It's 15th?
14th of April.
That's next Friday.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Next Friday.
Cool. And that's
God,
at the Watershed. Yeah. Yeah, I know it, but it's April already.
April, don't. It's the middle of April and I can't deal with it.
And I guess, Andy, we're going to have to find a Korean restaurant in Bristol for you to have a taste of Korea.
Oh, there's a Korean barbecue.
Korean.
Yeah.
We've got Korean restaurants in Bristol.
Yeah, there's a Korean barbecue in near Park Street. It's really, really, it's lush. It's really lovely.
Are you talking about Tuk Tuk?
Yeah.
Yes, I love Tuk Tuk.
It's lush.
They only opened last year and they are the cutest restaurant. I love them.
Yes. Tuk Tuk.
I mean, there are other restaurants available. I just personally enjoy Tuk Tuk.
It's almost as good as Taka Taka. Almost.
Oh my God, yes, up on the hill.
Yeah. Taka Taka is my life.
I'm getting hungry now.
Yeah, I know.
We could just leave them to it in the conversation.
Yeah, nice Jura roll, yeah.
I have a feeling Ella's going to want a new food slot on the show.
Yeah, can we?
Or cooking with Lara, that would work too, wouldn't it?
Actually, on our show, we don't actually feature restaurants much, so there's a new one.
Well, we did cooking once and everyone couldn't see it, so or taste it. So it didn't
made them
really
salivate.
So, the only time we've really covered cooking was when we did an article on being vegan.
Oh,
That was years ago. We did vegan cooking, and then we actually put the video up on YouTube, I think.
You know what, Andy?
Well.
We should spice up this show with a cooking feature.
Ooh, a bit of spice.
I don't know if we could fit any more in this show the way we're going.
Anyway, sorry, I just had to say it.
Thank you very much, you two. I presume the events are up on our website too, are they?
Yeah, they will be.
Cool, brilliant. Thank you.
No problem.
Shout-out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout-Out Podcast.
There you go. That's a glee and a shout.
Or shout-out.
No, just called shout.
Oh, okay. We'll have to get it redone. Shout out.
Yeah, no, I thought I'd play, because, I mean, everyone knows the one where she screams it, which is the classic one. I was actually looking for the Whoopi Goldberg one because of the connection with the next guest and sister act and the like, but I couldn't find the Whoopi Goldberg version anywhere to buy, so I bought that one.
There was none around.
I have a feeling we're going to have a few of these, please, listeners. Do bear with us. It's one of Natalie's habits.
Oh dear.
So anyway, welcome back to the show to Mark for Brash. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
It's lovely to have you back.
Thank you.
Now, for those that don't know, you are a sister of the Order of Perpetual Indulgence. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
We know all about it. And anyone who's seen Armistead Maupin's or read his book, well, seen the film from his books, I should say, will have seen nuns skating down the street. But for the listeners at home, give them an idea of what it involves. Being a nun.
So we are I'll tell you a little bit about what we are first. We'll do that. We're a global order of queer nuns. We started in about 1979 with three members in San Francisco. Since then, we've been spreading joy, spreading love, legs, why not? So we are an order of nuns. So we have three missions. That's what we do. So right. We have the expiation of stigmatic guilt, which basically means that we don't believe that anyone should be made guilty for who they are or what they do for a living, what they choose to put in their body. It's your choice, and it's devoid of shame. That's the one. We don't believe that you should be shamed for it. So if you identify as trans or gay, or if you take drugs or do sex work, we believe that's fair. That's fine. We want you to be happy in your body. The next one is the promulgation of universal joy. So we do what we can to make life a little bit better, or to spread joy, to make someone feel good, make people smile. And then the other one is serving the community. So we do what we can for the LGBT community in the local area.
Cool. Now, you have a very distinctive look about you when you're out in town, don't
yes,
you?
Yes,
not. It's not just the habit, I believe they call it, that you wear. You all, am I correct in saying all of you tend to have very white makeup faces, or is that just what I've seen?
Yeah, I think it's not all of us do. In Bristol, all of us do. And in most of the UK, all of us do as well.
Right.
In the white face. We call it white face. Or turning into a clown, I like to call
it. Yeah, I was
going to
say, I think it is technically a clown makeup, isn't it? It's very, very thick.
Yeah, insofar as it's like a thick white face with whatever you want to do on top of it.
But I presume that's all about so that you stand out, so people start to realise who you are. And
yes, it's partly, you know, standing out and drawing attention, which we're very, very good at. But it's also about concealing who you are.
Right.
Because, you know, you might not want people to connect your nun self, your sister self, with your everyday work self. Like, we've had one sister who was a counsellor who used the white face to not let her clients not recognise her on the street. And originally that came about because one of the three founding sisters was an escort. And they didn't want their punter to know. To recognise them on the street. So then she put on white face, like a clown, and that just kind of stuck. And that spread. There are a number...
It's become a very kind of, like, distinctive, you know...
Very much, kind of...
I mean, you're very identifiable when you're all together in town. And I guess it kind of plays on almost the same kind of thing as the whole drag king, drag queen thing of... You're not yourself, and you can actually almost play a character because they tend to be very, very outrageous.
Yes, we do.
And I do know a few who, day-to-day, aren't that outrageous. You know, but... Give the listeners at home, because you do a lot of outreach stuff, don't you?
Yes,
and this
do.
Is why we see you out and about in town. But why are you off out and about in town? What's the other than promoting yourselves? There's actually a serious side to it, isn't there?
Yes, we do. One of the reasons the order has been formed is to do what you can to fight against AIDS, because it was formed. We made the first safe sex leaflet, Play Safe, Play Fair. It was called. Sorry, and. That was done by a group of nuns working with the community, and that's always kind of, it's always been, AIDS has been a focus, HIV/AIDS. So when you see us out on the street, we're more than likely handing out condoms. We call it condom ministry. And we go around to the clubs, we talk to people about safe sex, but in a positive way. We hand out condoms and lube, and we've got other supplies as well, like femdoms and dental dams and gloves if people really want them. So we go out and we hand out these condoms, talk to people. We call it condom ministry, and that's the kind of main public thing that we do.
Right.
So do you find that sort of, you know, with awareness nowadays, that it's as bad as it has been?
I don't think it's as bad as it has been. I think there are other issues around. For example, I think condom use has gone up, I can see. But there's things like re-education needed, at least in my personal opinion, with things like the introduction of PrEP. As beautiful a thing as it is, it does lead some people to believe that they don't need to wear any protection at all, ever. And that's a focus for me because it still doesn't stop. Chlamydia doesn't stop.
Yeah, if you're listening and you're not 100% sure what we're talking about, PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. It basically is a drug that you can... the NHS are starting trials of, but the aim of it is to prevent you being infected by HIV. It kind of stops it from infecting your body. But it's only HIV it touches. And we talked to Greg from iwantprepnow.co.uk many times about this. So it is very important to point out it doesn't protect you against anything else. So safe sex is obviously a key one.
But coupled research with condom yourself, use, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think you could really go down the route with the nuns of giving out PrEP, but you can certainly go down the route of giving out information. Is that something that
we
do?
Yeah, we have information that we can give out. If people want to know more, but like, we're part of being an outreach is we're there, we're educated, and we can talk about things. So if someone like, if someone sees us and they want to know about things like PrEP or their safe sex options, we're our kind of your local friendly non-humans to talk to it about.
Well, that was what I was going to ask, because of course, I mean, the order was born in the days when you just didn't talk about things like that, especially condoms and safe sex and all that, you know. So is some of it all about making it less of a mystery, less of something that's dark? Is that kind of...
Yeah, make it less scary.
Yeah.
And even if people find us... Like, there are a couple of people who find our... You know, people who are afraid of clowns who find us scary. But if they're finding us scary, then they're not finding the condoms or that information scary.
So has it been a challenge to kind of keep up with the times then as an order?
Not really, because there's thousands of us across the world.
Yeah.
Not here, because that would... There's not even thousands on the scene, but there's thousands of us across the world, and we all share information, so we're all linked together, and we all do our own little bit and share it around. So it kind of lightens the load, and it's really useful that way.
Cool. So now, correct me if I'm wrong, though. I remember we first ever spoke to you when one of the sisters came down from all the way up in Scotland, I think, wasn't it? When you were initially trying to set up the order here.
Yeah.
And there's now a few of you that core and a few that help out when they can. But are you still looking for more people?
Definitely. If anyone feels the call of the habit, please do get in touch.
What do they need to be able to do if they want to come and help out?
To be able to do, we accept anyone who wants to help. So the club outreach may not be suitable in Bristol if you are, for example, in a wheelchair, just because of the accessibility of places that we go to. But there's always other things that you can do. The main bulk of it is going out to clubs and having, you know, going talking to people, having a good time, making safe sex.
Okay,
fun.
Do you actually give them lessons on the promulgation of joy?
The promulgation of universal joy.
Can't pronounce it.
What, for new members?
Yeah,
we do. So what we train you as an outreach volunteer,
because you need to know what you're talking about. You can't just go out and
so as a new member, what you'll typically do is you will essentially shadow someone who's already there to see what they talk about, how they essentially like to see what their sales techniques are. Because it is a bit of a sell getting in a condom into someone's pocket every now and again. But you're typically shadow for a while, and then you'll become a novice. So you'll kind of move up, level up in nun points.
Right. But there's a lot of other things. Well, if you're not one that's particularly wanting to be wearing a nun's habit and out there doing stuff, there's plenty of other things that can be done behind the scenes, aren't there? Because I mean, there's things like the packs have to be made, for example.
Yeah, they've got to be made, they've got to be designed, they've got to be packed, and we typically do that over dinner or in a pub. So if anyone wants to just do that, that's perfect for us.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure we put the contact details up on our website if people do want to do that. But before we finish, we very quickly want to talk to you, because I believe you've got an event coming up yourselves, haven't
you? Yes, we do. We've got an Easter party on Easter Sunday, the 16th, at the Bristol Bear Bar. It'll start about 8, 9. We have Miss Beaver hosting it. We've got a raffle for champagne and some other prizes. We will be doing some surprise things throughout the night. I'm not going to give that away, but come and see.
It would be a surprise if you did.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it free or is it donations?
Yeah, it's free entry. We'll accept donations, and we'll have shots for charity as well. So we're trying to raise some funds to get us some more, to be able to cover our costs. So things like the makeup, the condoms, the gloves, blah, 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 but all that stuff.
And there'll be several of the nuns there, will there?
There will be, yes.
Fab.
We'll be selling raffle tickets on the day. One of us will be doing the door, I think, and we'll just be milling around, chatting.
You're not missable, mate. I know that one. Know that one for a fact.
Really?
So now, listen. If anyone wants to find out more or get hold of you, what's the best way to do it? I'm presuming you're modern on Facebook and the like.
We are on Facebook.
Website
We can. We've got a website. The best way is to get in touch with us. In touch with us on Facebook. If you just search on Facebook Order of Perpetual Indulgence Bristol, then that'll get you through. And if you send us a message, then it'll most likely get through to me or one of the other sisters.
Cool.
Then we can.
Brilliant. And if, like me, you can't spell perpetual indulgence, go to the Shout-Out website. We'll make sure we link through to that page as well for you. So, listen, mate, it's been lovely to catch up with you again. And best luck with the future. We hope we can have, like, 20 of you down here one day. It'd be lovely to see, like, tons of you. Because I know you're still quite small. Yeah, well, that would be amazing if you all started singing.
Sister act.
So, anyway, and best luck with the gig a week on Sunday. If you are in Bristol, pop along. They're well worth having a chat to, especially if you've got questions around safe sex and the like. So
yeah, or if you just want to flirt with a nun.
Indeed, yes.
I'm very open to that.
Sorry, I wasn't expecting you to say that.
He's probably getting joy again.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to spread the joy.
Spread the joy.
Smile on Andy's face.
Spread the joy, yes. Get into the habit. It's just...
Keep with the puns.
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I am so in love with that song. That's Imagine Dragons, and that's their new song, Believer. Me and the husband were in the car, and that came on the radio. We were like, God, we really like this song. And then the guy turned around and said, that's Imagine Dragons. I was like, well, that's why we like it. So they are good, aren't they? So you like that one. That's not really you're more of a dance type person, aren't you, Steph?
Am I allowed to talk to you? Because I'm a newscaster today. So are we allowed to call with the presenters?
Yeah, well, it depends. Yeah, if you're good and don't insult me, you can. So would you like that song, though, seriously?
Yes. Have you played the one that you sent me that I'm going to be playing
no,
on
No, that's coming up after the extra later on.
We will be dancing on the sides.
Oh, right. Cool. Yes. Cool. Now, the last one we had was Shout.
Okay.
But we have the Glee version of it. So, but yeah, no, that's the new Imagine Dragons one. It's a really cool track. I like that. So sorry if you're listening on the podcast because we edit them out. But go look it up because it's really good.
Listen again.
Yes, you could on BCFM's website. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Very true.
But or you could just go and buy it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Even better. Support.
Well done.
Support Imagine Dragons. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Matt.
So. Yeah, people should buy music, not just keep, you know, streaming.
Anyway, are you back in news flow? You haven't done news in like years.
That's because they won't allow me anywhere near a news script. I think there might be reasons for that.
Yeah, there's a limit of how much innuendo we can cope with in a show. I think that's something to do with it.
It's okay. Put the serious head back on there.
Yeah. Yes. One must be serious when reading the news.
She hasn't been allowed to edit this, has she?
Yes, we've edited it.
Oh, she has.
I'll tell you what, Andy, while she's reading it, we'll pull faces at her and see if we can make a choke.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we apologise in advance. Here is your news headlines.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 6th of April 2017. TGU, Transgender Europe, today the European Court of Human Rights found that the sterilisation requirements in legal gender recognition violates human rights. This historical decision was delivered in three joining cases against France. Today is a victory for trans people and human rights in Europe. This decision ends the DIARC chapter in state-induced sterilisation in Europe. The 22 states in which sterilisation is still mandatory will have to swiftly end this practice. We are looking forward to supporting those and other countries in reforming their national legislation. Comments from Julia Eckhart, the Trans Europe Executive Director.
We are, of course, a little New Age here at Shoutout. After all, the New Age movement has roots in common with the modern LGBT liberation and women's liberation movements during the tumultuous late 1960s. For that matter, the struggle for community radio began during the same period. Now, a major network of New Age gurus gets together in London for a festival called Togetherness. The event is billed as an intimate festival of human connection and will take place on the 20th and 21st of May. Workshops will include expanding your sexuality, deep listening, and liberating gender. The organisers say whether you are single, relationship, polyamorous, whatever your race, gender, or sexuality, you're welcome at Togetherness. Visit togethernesslondon.com for more information.
A broadcast from the All India Radio monitored on shortwave on Tuesday evening reported that the United States has cut funding to the tune of more than $30 billion to the United Nations Family Planning Agency, which supports heterosexual partners in more than 150 countries worldwide to control the numbers of their offspring on a badly overcrowded planet. The news reports noted that the cuts were a swap to the more Christian fundamentalist supporters of Donald Trump's presidency.
Alphabet Soup is a new project brought about by a team of students at Bath Bay University and is aimed at educating and informing about the lesser-known gender identities and sexual orientations, such as asexuality and intersex status. A fundraising page at the Bath Bay Uni website is available, where you can find out more or search for A to Z Soup on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Southwest London's community radio service, Radio Jackie, reports that campaigners are seeking clarification after the budget cut of £6 million to sexual health services in the area was announced. More details have yet to be announced.
Dissident radio network Free Radio Europe, which transmits pro-democracy programmes at the former Eastern Bloc countries, says that LGBT activists across Russia are organising to help gay and bisexual people from the semi-autonomous region of Chechnya. Chechen authorities have allegedly begun a fanatical campaign of persecution, arrest and physical assault of gay and bi people. There are reports of up to four deaths, police brutality and prison torture. The situation remains alarming in the region. Visit our website for a full link to the story.
Barry Manilow has told journalists he had delayed coming out publicly for more than 40 years. Barry is marking 50 years in show business. According to Gay News, he was afraid of disappointing fans, is now overcoming his tendency to be very private about his life off the stage. Barry is now 73 and has enjoyed worldwide success with his songs, which include I Write the Songs and Mandy.
London-based singer-songwriter Paul Middleton is known for his beautiful voice and cover versions of popular songs. After losing his mother to cancer, Paul decided to donate proceeds from his first two cover albums to cancer research. He's also the ambassador for Kaywoods Foundation, which supports Dementia UK. The indie movie Hanging In There is based on a stage play by Jeff Saunders, who is recovering from testicular cancer himself when he wrote it. Jeff then went on to write the screenplay. Jeff told Shoutout that several of the cast have survived to testicular cancer themselves. Directed by Darren Scott on a shoestring budget, Hanging In There has been dubbed the movie that can save lives. I'm Steffi Barnett.
And I'm Tara Fraser.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, that last story that you were talking about there, of course, Paul's released his first single called Hanging In There, which is what you mentioned. It's the title song from a movie by the same name, all about raising awareness of testicular cancer. So, and we're very lucky. We've actually managed to get hold of the song, so we thought we'd play it for you. Have a listen to this.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's Paul Middleton and Hanging In There from the movie with the same name, all about raising awareness for testicular cancer. So that was written in collaboration with Lee Turner and is a tongue-in-cheek named ballad which features in the music video too. So now from one serious thing to something I know absolutely nothing about, but I'm going to go straight across and say a very warm welcome to Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Now, we got you on the phone because you're over the other side of the country from us at the moment, aren't you? But we really wanted to catch up with you about poetry, of all things.
Yeah.
So now, for those of you that don't know, Sarah's, you got, was it to number 10, you said, in the charts on Amazon?
Yeah, so in the gay and lesbian poetry section of the Amazon bestsellers list, I got to about number 10.
Which is an amazing achievement, because are we allowed to, you're not really supposed to ask a lady her age, are you? But are we allowed to say how old you are?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm 22.
So there you go. I mean, now, give us an idea, how on earth did you first realise that you were good at writing poetry?
So the thing I always say when people ask that is I didn't realise. It was more that other people seemed to like it, so I kept doing it. I was already writing. I work as a freelance prose writer.
Right.
But I only really... Yeah, so I was very into prose, and the kind of poetry was one of those things where it was like, oh no, there's a type of person that's a poet, and I am not that type of person. So... I think it mostly, for me, it was when I was 18, I got diagnosed with myalgic encephalitis, which is a long-term chronic illness.
Oh dear.
And then a couple of years later was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is another chronic illness. So it's like playing a really rubbish game of like Pokemon Go and being quite good at collecting them. And so I began to write poetry as a way to kind of articulate how I was feeling at the time.
So give our listeners some idea, what kind of things do you feature in your poetry? Because it's down as being LGBT poetry, and I believe that's where it's kind of categorised on most of the stores, isn't it? But what specifically aims it at the community?
It's kind of about kind of bisexuality and kind of Catholic guilt and coming of age. As a person in the LGBT community who kind of feels like they're looking in from the outside because of disability or because of religion or because of things like that.
Cool. So when did you, well, how did you first put a book together? Had you just written so many poems you thought, oh, I'll put all these together? Or did you actually sit down specifically to write a book?
So what actually happened is, so Spine is a collection from around the time I was 18. So kind of the year and a half, 2 years after I immediately got diagnosed with my kind of most magic encephalitis. And so I kind of had them all collected in a Word document and I would kind of copy and paste them over. And then Headmistress Press, who is my publisher, ran a chapbook contest.
Oh, right.
And at the time I was going through and entering because I enter into a lot of prose anthologies, and I saw it and I was like, you know, what's the harm? You know, they'll read it. You know, they probably won't like it, but whatever.
So you entered and thought, oh no, nothing will happen.
Yeah. And I actually didn't win the contest, but I was contacted by the public. Yeah, no, I didn't actually win the contest, which is kind of a much better narrative. But what happened is a couple of weeks later, I got an email from them saying that they wanted to release my work anyway. And at the time, I think I was in Bulgaria. I'd been up all night. I'd been rushed to the doctors because I had an ear infection. So it kind of took me about 6 tries of reading the email before I actually kind of got what was being said.
Did you call it Spine because of your condition?
Actually, it was a name that the publisher. So me and the publishers kind of were emailing back and forth. And kind of, throwing all these titles around. And they actually suggested Spine because apparently Spine is the most commonly used word in the collection.
Oh, right. So do you feature or your illness feature in the poems, or is it just more general than that?
So I would say about 90% of my work is either kind of autobiographical or inspired by real-life events. And I write a lot about, for example, so Chosen One, which is one of the poems in the anthology, is about that kind of process of being diagnosed and being aware that you now have an illness and how people react to it because they try and cheer you up about it when it first happens.
Cool. And of course, it's gone all the way up to, well, I think we've checked, it's definitely number 10 on Amazon. So does this mean a second book is on the way? Or
I've been drafting a second chapbook, so I'm going to be kind of, you know, looking around to see if somebody wants to publish it, and if not, I probably will go down the self-publishing route with that one.
Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely to chat with you about it. I'm rubbish at poetry. I couldn't do it. I remember trying in school for GCSE. I'm terrible at it. But it's brilliant to talk to someone who's been so successful with it. So now your book is called Spine, isn't it? We keep mentioning that. I keep mentioning Amazon. I really shouldn't do that because it's available all over the place, isn't it? All good bookstores and the like.
Actually, at the moment, I think in terms of bookstores, it's only stocked in one physical bookstore, and that's G. David in Cambridge.
Right, cool. But I mean, if you're modern and online, you can probably get it most places, is that right?
Yeah, so you can get it, I think it's through Amazon. I think there's links to it through Goodreads. And obviously Headmistress Press have their own website.
Cool. Brilliant. Well, listen, it's been lovely to catch up with you. You'll have to let us know. If you bring out a second book, we'll have to have a chat, perhaps get you to read some of them out for us.
Yeah, because it might be some of my not actually teenage poetry this time, which would be nice.
Cool. Listen, thank you so much for phoning in, Sarah. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers. So now, if you want to have a look at that, that's the poetry of Sarah Caulfield, and it's called A Spine. We'll try and find a link for it and shove it up on the website for you. But in the meantime, though, stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go, Steph. How was that?
That was I love it, but I do prefer the dirty disco version.
Yeah, I know, but it was such a long mix. It was like 5 minutes, and we don't normally have time for that in this show. So I put the that was a radio edit. It's called Let It Shine, and it's by Stephen Redent.
Yes. I will say, Steph, you're so much better behaved when you read the news.
You reckon? Do you realise I had to sit on my hands, my legs, everything? Well, I had to...
Well, what else could you sit
on? People normally sit on their legs.
Yeah. Do you sit on your legs?
No,
I would get cramp.
I sit on my... rear.
Sit on my bottom. You're allowed to say bottom on there. That's absolutely fine, isn't it?
Really? Posterior, yeah. You can say. Posterior, you can say, yes. Bum.
That was like derrière.
Derrière. That's French, though, isn't it?
Derrière, yeah.
Derrière. Part of my French.
You know, that's why I like Andy so much, because he's so intelligent, isn't he? Knowing foreign languages.
Are you being sarcastic?
I'm sorry, we can't use French anymore. We've done Brexit now.
No, we haven't. No,
we haven't.
Well, we've started it.
No, I
refuse it. I'm a rebel with a cause. I'm going to keep using French.
Let's not go down the Brexit route. It's really depressing.
Yeah. I'm going to get an EU passport. Are you going to get an EU passport?
I'd like to, yeah.
Can you opt into it? I haven't one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Or you can have a shiny new blue one from the UK.
Oh, whoopee.
God, what?
That's costing us £35 million to implement this.
Like the old days. And the 100,000 extra bureaucrats they need to employ to replace the EU ones. Yeah. Always get very political here.
I just wonder if someone's going to have to look in the future into if it's possibly going to affect LGBT rights or anything like that.
I think
that might be important.
I doubt it.
I swear a lot of our laws got enforced because of the EU.
Yeah, but they're going to copy them into English law, aren't they? That's the plan.
Yeah,
anyway,
but what about new ones, though?
Well, we'll make them ourselves. So. Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, I believe. Anyway, that's it for this week. But as always, you can listen again or podcast the show if you wish to.
Yes, it's the same place as always. Just head over to shoutoutradio.lgbt and click on shows.
I'm excited for next week. We're going to be catching up with Darren from Pride and finding out all the ins and outs of what's coming this year. But from myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.